Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt.
Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk.
Hello and welcome to WrestleTalk. Oh, God damn it. My mind's not in it, Luke. My mind's on Penguin Isle.
Well, we're going to...
Hello and welcome to the healthiest WrestleTalk podcast you've ever heard. I'm Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, Swap Nation, and a hello to you, Penguin Master Oliver Davis.
Got a lot of penguins.
Why don't you tell everyone what it is you're talking about? Because I have only just heard about this new penguin thing that you are addicted to this morning.
Well, but most of the world will. But this is something that happened around 7:15 last night. I went home. My lady partner had got a promotion.
Hey, great news.
We celebrated with a Deliveroo.
A little bit of bubbly?
A little bit of the... What cuisine was it? It was brothy.
Little bit of the brothy.
It was some form of Vietnamese, mm-hmm. I want to say. I've got, sometimes I just see noodles.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think that's racist to just see cuisines as very similar to each other.
It's uncultured.
Some have more dumplings. Yeah, I'm ignorant.
Yeah, totally.
Kill me. Yeah. So that was happening. I downloaded the Deliveroo app because I was having problems. Putting in the address... With my stupid fat fingers.
Oh, it's a problem we all have.
Mm, the fingers you have used are too fat. And it was a cruel irony considering I was trying to order food.
Yeah.
And on the suggested apps,
mm-hmm.
It just said, hey, have you tried Penguin Isle? We think you'll like it.
Yeah.
And I looked at it.
But why did it think you'd like it?
I don't know. I think it just pushes stuff. Well, you assume that the algorithms that work beyond us all know more about us than we would like to think.
Mm-hmm.
Not that they've got microphones. That's not true. It's just they can learn behavior very, very acutely. They probably
know. Through the microphones.
Yeah, because that's really efficient, having loads of people listening to the microphones.
No, it's just like they've got bots to just transcribe what gets talked, and then they just pick out certain keywords. Mm.
Apparently that's all an urban myth. I can see how people would think it, but...
I've got my own story about it. Yeah.
But even before then, this is like, 10, 15 years ago, women would get sent coupons for... Well, that's always been the way. But
is that women, a bot thing as well?
Yeah, that's my defense.
Yeah.
Women would get sent coupons for nappies before they even knew they were pregnant, just by shopping behavior.
Huh.
Yeah, this was
wow.
Before this was just
where did you
through
read
loyalty
this?
Cards. This is a well-known story. It's a well-known thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm a firm believer that you don't need microphones to be able to. Actually know very acutely what people are into.
Yeah.
And This is, seems to be what happened with the Google Play Store. No, I love penguins. Penguins are my spirit animal. Mm-hmm. I get a penguin-related item every Christmas.
Yes.
And I also like artistically stylized minimalist games. Mm-hmm. Through my purchase history. What's that? There was a really good puzzle one a few months back. Can't remember it, but I played that to death. So it says, try a penguin aisle. And I thought it was going to, but my lady partner saw it and was like, oh, that's cute. It's probably one of those things where you install it on your phone, mm-hmm. and the more you don't, have you seen these? The more you don't use your phone, the prettier it becomes.
No.
Yeah, so there's this app called Forest, and you start it, and the idea is to wean you off the phone. And it starts playing calming music. And the longer you don't use it, more trees grow in this garden. It becomes this beautiful thing by the course of an hour. And you're like, hey.
But surely you are just watching the phone. You're not really weaned yourself off it at all.
Well, I think that the idea is you're weaning yourself off the dopamine hits of Instagram notifications, WhatsApp conversations, et cetera, et cetera.
But it's just a different dopamine hit.
Yeah. But I would say a less damaging one.
I would say that's counterproductive.
Okay, well, it's one psychology award, so it's you versus the psychology papers.
Well, bring it on, psychology
funded
papers.
Funded by the apps, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
So I was like, okay, so it's going to be, it looks pretty, I love penguins, sure. I can put it on, and I can put it on the side, and we can enjoy The Apprentice tonight. And I can just see this and see what happens. It is the complete opposite of that. It is a click and make things happen game. There is no strategy. There is no gameplay. It is purely press this cute thing, press this cute thing. And every time it has a little animation of some hearts. And the more hearts I get, the more efficient I can make my penguins into building some weird roller coaster icicle land that they all live on. I've got 47 penguins. I looked up online where I'm at in the game. I'm about 4 weeks into the game by normal gameplay standards. I have fallen for this hard. I'm worried about myself. I woke up at 6 a.m. this morning. I thought, I'll just have a quick 10 minutes.
So
an
you wanna,
hour and a quarter.
You want to talk about your dopamine hits.
An hour and a quarter.
You woke up specifically to get some dopamine hits.
I woke up to do my
work,
usual morning routine.
But you didn't do your work.
I didn't.
Because like an addict... You went to do something else.
I needed a penguin fix.
You did.
So, but I...
This is a slippery slope, is what I'm saying.
Well, yeah, I don't... Look at all the ice.
Yeah. Right.
I very rarely get into such mindless brain-off entertainment, so I'm giving myself this one. I'm going to see how I am tomorrow evening, and if it's still a problem... I'm gonna hopefully step away,
dude. I've known.
I
you.
Haven't spent any money on it. That's
no, well,
the big
that
thing.
That's a good thing. Yeah. I mean, but that is it does come.
I mean,
it eventually comes.
That there's a 99p package that would really help me out.
That's exactly how they get you. It's the small incremental purchases.
The top one is £100.
Oh, I know. Yeah, it's ludicrous, isn't it? And it's because it's all fake currency as well. You're paying real money for fake currency that makes it feel like there's a really good exchange rate on it, but. There's no such thing as an exchange rate because it's not real.
It's an exchange rate for happiness, though.
Mm. But, okay, so I've known you for a number of years now. And a very good friend of mine for a number of years. I give it 2 weeks maximum before you're bored of it. And
yes.
you'll have just moved on to something else.
Totally.
It'll just be one of your two-week obsessions where it's like, I cannot talk about anything other than this. And then in the next 2 weeks, it's just like, no, I've read this article about... this other thing.
What's your top three examples of those things?
The Monzo card.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's no longer in operation.
your backless chair.
Well, I just feel a bit tired, so I haven't been using it as much. You copied me. You got a backless chair.
And I copied you with the Monzo card as well, because I thought those are good ideas.
No.
But I keep up with them.
Mm, they are good ideas. It's just... You know, it's shiny penguins.
You just get bored by the... Or get, you know, attracted by a new shiny thing instead.
Like Pete's tattoo covered in cocoa butter. It was when he recorded these video this morning, it was hitting the light in an unfavourable way for the camera, apparently.
Yeah. Well, we had this email in speaking of updates to WrestleTalk and WrestleTalk bodies. This is from Abnahav, who says, Dear Ollie and Luke... from the past few days, I'm feeling a little off with WrestleTalk and ScreenStalker.
Oh, no.
I'd like to share some concerns issues that I think the channel is facing. I know you guys are consistent with the video output, i.e. putting up more videos and relevant videos, but I feel there's a lack of consistency in the video format. It started with Ollie's Raw review a month ago, and everyone backlashed. You guys saw it. Make your changes.
Yeah, I know the exact date. That in my mind is now the day.
Yeah.
It's the 22nd of October, Tuesday the 22nd of October. That was the day where my life crumbled for 6 weeks.
Oh, breaks my heart. I had to leave you for some of it as well. For the past few weeks, there's been so much change in the channel, it's hard to keep up. Super chats were removed, then put back in again. That weird camera stuff that happened on the latest review and so on.
The backlash to that, I really caught me by surprise. But we'll carry on.
Yeah. You guys are not sticking to one format. You guys are not sticking to one format, and it's not good.
Hmm. Well, I take your... So, if you look at it from our point of view, we still don't know what we're doing. The whole wrestling world changed on the 2nd of October, where SmackDown moved to Fox.
Just a little irony as well. He then suggests changes. So just...
AEW started. We're tasked with... 2K20 came out. We're tasked with having to keep up with AEW pay-per-views as well. It's really been tough going, just from a scheduling point of view, and figuring out what is the most effective way to do videos that people want to see. And we've got, you know, there's so many elements that go into that, including sometimes there might be something we really want to make a video about, but we know there won't be general interest in it, so we have to put it on the back burner. It's like a daily struggle to make this work, and we're still in flux, and people were complaining about the super chats. We did a 2-week trial. I understand that things might seem all over the place, because they are, really, and we're trying to figure out the best way. So I'm sorry about that, and Screen Stalker is just probably going to have to take a break for a month while we figure everything out.
Yeah.
But it's not easy at the moment.
On that subject, Colin emailed in to say, the camera cuts are unnecessary, annoying, and adds nothing to the overall presentation. Kevin Dunn to WrestleTalk confirmed.
I think everyone should remember how all other TV works. And in general, even those style podcasts that we put on YouTube, Joe Rogan, they have multiple cuts.
I know, but as I said to you the other day, because we didn't have cuts from video one, you can't then introduce them in video 600, because people have got used to them a certain way, and the internet fears change.
Yeah. To compare it to Kevin Dunn is hugely disingenuous, folks. Come on. Like, watch Kevin Dunn's cuts. That's epileptic to the max. That you can see people squatting. I watched the videos back. We had a cutting rate of about 3 cuts a minute. It's pedestrian.
Yeah.
And what I think...
There's less than that in a WrestleTalk news episode.
Yeah, like, that's the other thing. You go and watch any of our other output, and it is obnoxiously fastly cut. So I'm not offended, but I'm a bit disappointed in everyone's knee-jerk reaction to that, because that is what it is. It's a reaction against change. And really, I agree. I don't think they were most effective, because they weren't framed up properly. But for everyone to say, oh, Kevin Dunn, all this, sorry if I'm coming off as sour, but I was really taken by surprise by something that is actually a significant production upgrade.
Yeah, I agree. But talking of...
And we put a lot of time and effort into it, and people just crap on it. So yeah, made me sad.
Talking of significant production upgrades, let's get into the AEW review, where we're asking the question, is Jon Moxley joining Chris Jericho's inner circle? Here is the show.
About Jon Moxley. He opened the show, which was so cool.
Yeah. I said this a couple of weeks ago when he came out at the end of the show to stare down Jericho. And I was like, when his music hit, I get this, like, a sense. Like, and I get it when Kenny Omega makes an entrance as well. But I get the sense of just like, oh, I'm excited. I can't wait to see what he's going to do. Whether it's just going to be cutting a promo.
Luke Sale.
Having a match, or just staring someone down. I'm excited to see what he's going to do.
The difference between him and Kenny Omega, though, is that Mox's is arguably more exciting, because he doesn't walk around in Tokyo on his Titantron like this.
He's not walking sadly through Shibuya.
It's not even sadly. It is expressionless. Nothing brings me down more than a Mega's entrance video. But Moxley comes out here. And yeah, I've written down the exact same thing in my notes. The show just opens. I didn't get the intro.
No. Sequence. There was no intro. They just opened straight with Mox.
Cold open. Mox walks in through the crowd. And honestly, this crowd reaction. I was trying to think of a way to describe it in my notes. I've got rabid male crowd. It's just, it's a different kind of sound.
It's that guttural sound.
It's like, and people are going to go, oh, I don't like the sound of that, I think. But because it's like, it's the safest way to enjoy violence. Like, look, mm-hmm. that we are, particularly men, are, I believe, sort of geared towards enjoying violence a bit more. And you can see that through just, like, general interests if you crudely split people by gender.
Yeah.
And it's that kind of thrill when your mate is about to get in a fight at school and you know the excitement that spreads through the room.
Dude, you remember, like, this is why I did at university. Like, it was a thrill for me to get into fights and stuff because I was a knob. But, like, that was what I did. And me and my mates thought, like, well, this is brilliant. Let's just do this more often.
It's why I watch the Rock movies. It's why I love action movies. It's why I love wrestling.
Yeah.
Really. And it's... But I also don't like that part of myself.
Nope.
Because I'm a self-hater. And so this is like a really safe, good way to let that side of me out. And Moxley is the perfect avatar for it.
Yeah.
So if you just imagine the ultimate example of kid-friendly, yay, someone's going to beat someone up. John Cena, mm-hmm. 2009, that sort of high-pitched kids and women... Let's go, Cena.
Yeah.
The complete opposite of that is what we're getting with Mox.
I am, and this is going to be a, this is too much of a, like too big of a comparison. So I'm not saying it is equal. I just want to put that out in front of you now. I'm not saying this is equal. But what it reminds me of is the reaction Punk got at Money in the Bank 2011, which was when we did our Patreon podcast review of it, you'd said like, it is a guttural, like, it's the deepest of deepest reactions. I'm not saying that Mox here was as over as Punk was in Chicago, because that would be a ludicrous statement to make. But it was the same sound that was coming out.
It's coming from the same place.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a hard place to tap into. That's enormously genuine. And for me, and I think for the AEW crowd, Mox has found that route, and he's lodged in my heart at the moment.
He's just got superstar presence about him. He looks like such a badass when he's walking into the ring. He's got this swagger about him. I just love it so much. And they were putting over as like, oh yeah, no, he's got a really quick win. Like, his quickest win was against Michael Nakazawa a couple of weeks ago. So he came in here and beat up this lad called Alex Reynolds in way quicker time. It was a handful of seconds.
Yeah, it was just boom, paradigm shift. And I just thought that paradigm shift seems like it's the same move as Dirty Deeds, but it is a completely different move.
Yeah.
And it's because of context.
Yeah, yeah,
not
yeah.
Not much
true,
has changed.
Yeah.
Sure, it's a bit rougher. Maybe goes up a bit down at a sheer angle. There's not that snap usually.
I've got to say as well, this was an excellent crowd all night.
Oh,
well.
Yeah.
Like a really, really great crowd in Dallas. And the Inner Circle came down to the ring.
Mm-hmm. Mox also beat up John Silver.
Yes, and we'll see those two later on in this show as well. Inner Circle came down to the ring. Crowd started swearing at Jericho, so we told them to watch their mouths. Just made them boo even more.
Jericho as well just hasn't put a foot wrong for me.
Yeah.
Since Dynamite launched, perfect.
And that is it, really, because I think you and I could probably agree on this. From Double or Nothing to All Out, I wasn't that high on the Jericho train. Like, I was like, put the title on Jericho because he's the name. Makes sense, but he's the guy I'm least interested in.
He was a confusing gimmick. He seemed to be halfway between Painmaker and something new.
Yeah.
It wasn't until Little Bit of the Bubbly.
That's it.
And he just found his character there through improvisation backstage.
Through a handful of words.
Yeah.
He completely turned this around. And like, from that, you had the Inner Circle and the character now completely works. And you're right, it's the Dynamite era of Jericho has been, it's been fantastic week in, week out. And he talks about how like they've got 10 years of history and how Moxley approached him 10 years ago on how to become a star. And then we had wars, we beat the S word out of each other. Which I thought was a nice touch because Jericho had told the crowd to mind your language.
Yeah.
Good heel stuff. And then he said, I helped Moxley navigate those murky waters to get here in AEW. And basically, the crux of this was to offer Moxley a place in the inner circle. It's like, can you imagine? Jericho, Moxley, Big Hurt, Santana and Ortiz, Sammy Guevara.
Spanish God.
That man over there getting really angry at a 16-year-old been on the cover of Time magazine. We could all be on the same page. And he hands him the T-shirt and says, don't need your answer now. You know, give it the holidays and we'll talk about this in the new year. It's a lovely way to say, like, we don't have to talk about this next week. And then that's the last live show for the year. And they walked away. And Moxley sold this so well. That's why I used it as the thumbnail. I just love the face that he was putting to the camera being like, huh, I've been handed a T-shirt.
Jim from The Office. Yeah. That's what it was. It was...
Yeah.
What was that look? It was Tim or Jim from The Office. I thought this was excellent. It's normal heel tactics. Jericho obviously kayfabe doesn't want to face Moxley.
No.
Like last week, he's reading through the lexicon and he does all those things. Not John Moxley. It was a great promo. And here he's doing the same thing but in a different tactic of, well, why don't you join me?
Yeah.
This is Jericho. He's motivated from a place of fear. Great character trait for a heel. So, but it is also kind of a standard thing. You know, oh, you don't want to fight me, you want to join me. I've seen this 1,000 times.
NWO did it 100 times.
But when he said, that was this great word, he said, now that Moxie and Jericho together, that's a paradigm shift.
Yeah.
And I was like, you're tapping into what Mox's motivation is.
Yeah.
He's annoyed with the company, really. They keep on, the unsanctioned match when he beat Omega. I can almost believe, I don't think he will, but I can believe that Moxie would side with him.
Yeah.
And that makes it such a compelling story overall.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think my only criticism against this whole thing is that I still would have preferred to hold off on Moxley Jericho. And because I still felt there was something to be done with Moxley and Omega. Mm. Like, it felt like we should have had that singles match that would have counted. Like, I feel like that's what we were building towards. Yeah. And it's now now Omega's doing something different, looks to be with Hangman. So that's my only critique I've got of this. But given that these are the cards that lay down in front of you, like, actually, this is really good. And I'm really excited to see that segment because you can really play it up and really ham the crowd up as well of him teasing, putting on the T-shirt, taking off, revealing the T-shirt, ripping the T-shirt off, beating everyone up, paradigm shifts all around. It's going to be a wonderful babyface moment for him.
Yeah. It was a really strong opening, I thought, just because Mox has, we've said you don't need a big cliffhanger angle to end AEW Dynamite. You just need a Mox match because he's got that much charisma. And same with the opening. This was just as effective as the Young Bucks killing themselves in the main event.
Totally.
And Mox hardly took a bump.
Barely did anything.
Smart guy. That's Kevin Nash's kind of guy.
It's a Randy Orton kind of guy.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We'll get on to your thoughts on the super chats very quickly, but first, let's do some $25 a month or more Pledge Hammer Patreon shout-outs.
Indeed.
So go over to Patreon and become a Pledge Hammer there to get loads of exclusive stuff.
Loads of fun goodies. Oh,
it's the ultimate fan experience. Thank you, Hall of Mania, Patrick Hall.
Nice. Yes. Yeah. Former star athlete, now a head coach, Lendell Brentson.
Whoa. Harder than its bite. Sean Barksdale.
Ho, 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 ho. Ask his future husband and EOF one-man wrecking crew, Skintray.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, cool.
You'll never get this name right, you idiots. Matthew Zimjewski.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Brett, the hitman, Matthew Williams. Whoa, oh.
Yes. Infinite Crisis, Chris Jenkins.
Master of the Hammers. Hammer Man. ... Dive, Dylan Cachetta.
Thank you very much, Dylan. They drew first blood, not me. Grace Rambo.
Thank you, Grace. You sold out, Jay Sellers.
Yeah. Jonathan, the headmaster, headman.
Lovely. Woo. And lastly for this round, Nate dropped surname.
Thank you, Nate. Thank you, everyone.
Indeed, yes. So, JobberJJ496 says, Super Chat Party! Sorry, my voice croaked a little bit there. Great wrestling all through the show. Awesome main event. Characters and storylines progressing. Not liking everything. Have rules.
What do you mean? But where would the rules have been?
Well, I think in the tag match, the Hangman Page Omega, there was a moment when Joey Janela effectively attacked Sean Spears.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a DQ and they just brawled to the back.
I guess so, yeah.
I mean, I said it in my review. I thought it was a...
Didn't bug me. But we'll get on to that later,
I suppose. Colostopia says, MJF is the worst. Brackets best.
He's working, your brother.
And Jade Starr says, how long before Mox takes the title off of Jericho?
Well, if he even is going to take the title off him, I think... So you said that you don't really want them to pull the trigger on Jericho Mox right now. I don't think they have to. I think AEW is smart enough, and this is what I would always do if I was booking a promotion, is weave feuds in and out of each other.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe Mox is going to face Jericho, but Omega attacks him, and you have a three-way, and then, you know, you sort of...
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. There's ways around it.
Yeah. I could, if I was to put money on anything, which I'm not really a betting man, but I would have thought that it would be Kenny Omega to be the man to take the belt off of Jericho.
I mean, I think it should be Cody.
Maybe, but he can't challenge for the title anymore.
I don't know how they're going to get around that. that babyface moment of Cody winning the belt. I don't think it's going to happen.
Jake C says, who should the Dark Order feud with first?
Nightmare Collective. gimmick on a pole match.
The Ascension.
Who should they feud with first? I don't know. It's almost like they've got too many tag teams at the moment.
Best Friends is one you can play them off, luring someone away. Jurassic Express. Because they kind of already started that with trying to get Marco Stunt to become
a
creeper.
That's probably the best first feud. Not their first like proper serious feud.
Yep.
But because I think that would be with the Bucks.
Right, well, we'll do two more. Dustin Turner says, I was at the show last night and the intensity of the crowd was higher than most WWE shows I've been at. The crowd was younger too.
Oh, interesting. Mm. Yeah, always interesting to hear about the actual demographics of people going to shows. When you say younger, I assume you mean teenage, early 20s as opposed to how WWE skewers, which is kids. And families.
Yeah. And lastly, All Elite DK says, TLC came early thanks to AEW. That's how you do it.
Well, I'm sure WWE will have some... I'm looking forward to a lot of the TLC matches, actually.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to Flair and Lynch versus the Kabuki Warriors in TLC. Yeah, yeah. I'm looking forward to that more than I am Roman Corbin in TLC.
Definitely. Although, I love Corbs. I just want to see... Now that Punk likes him, I feel like I'm
really
allowed to.
Okay, fair enough.
So, yeah, just remember to go to luchabritannia.com to get your tickets for tomorrow's show. It's got Cara Noir, it's got Callum Newman, some of the most exciting wrestlers in the UK at the moment. That's in Bethnal Green in the East End of London.
East End.
But let's get on. We'll get to the rest of your super chats after we've done the full play-by-play review of the show.
And if there's any left over, WrestleTalk.com, where we'll have our after party.
So keep those coming in. Super chats are back. Cuts aren't back.
Well, people loved them so much. If you want to hear Ollie's unfiltered thoughts on that, check out this week's podcast.
I just don't think the concept of cutting between people is so bad.
No.
Because that's what everybody else does.
I know.
Opened with the mock stuff, as we've already said. And then we got the tag match that was set up, 2 weeks ago now, I suppose. It was the Butcher and the Blade's debut AEW match against Cody Rhodes and his tag partner, QT Marshall.
Yes. So QT Marshall is a guy that was featured on AEW Dark a number of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. He's a backstage guy, but he was a wrestler, but then decided that... I think his story is that he got... injured so badly he kind of transitioned into this. He's been seen and being the elite all the lead up to all the AEW stuff.
He had that lovely story, didn't he, when they first offered him the job. They did that on one of the Road 2
That's
series.
Right,
I believe
yeah.
it was him, or it could have been the referee.
There was
referee.
Brandon Cutler as well. They did it to did it with
maybe
as well.
I'm mixing them up.
But anyway, the story is that AEW essentially have given him a chance, so he was just going to have one match on Dark. I think that was the story they were going to do. But then he was picked for this here, and I said this last week, in a kayfabe world, it makes sense that it's Cody versus QT Marshall. But it doesn't lead to the most enticing of matches. Mm. However, it totally worked for this match. And
this was a very good match.
I feel like I've been an island when it comes to The Butcher and the Blade. Because I loved the debut. I loved the promo last week. I loved the look of the group. Mm. And I was really excited to see what they do. And I loved this match. And I love The Butcher and the Blade. Am I still alone? Because I think this was, I thought this was great.
Aside
from that one botch spot.
Coming out of this, I was most into QT Marshall. I thought he was absolutely fantastic in this, and he did botch stuff, but
well, it wasn't QT Marshall's fault that it was the botch. It was they had a moment
sent on outside.
Well, he whips Cody to do a dive onto the Butcher, but the Butcher hadn't stood up, so the Butcher was still down on the ground. So by the time Cody was doing the dive, he was already still down. He was just slightly out of position. So unfortunate.
Yeah, so I really like Marshall coming out of this, and I wish that, and this is one of Dynamite's huge faults, that I think they look at everything, especially coming off the success of Being the Elite. Oh, people watch Being the Elite and they watch Dynamite. Everyone watches everything. To me, that's a comic book mistake.
Oh,
of no, not everyone is reading the tie-ins.
Yeah.
You've got to tell your stories and the main stuff in your central title.
Yep.
And then you have supplementary material, not stuff that actually informs the stuff. So, like, a 2-minute video package.
Yep.
Or maybe just a couple of spots, if you've booked this in advance, over the last 3 weeks with
Completely.
QT Marshall.
Yeah.
And that makes this match really, really good, as opposed to me getting into it a third of the way in, when Marshall gets some form of hot tag. And the same thing applies to The Butcher and the Blade. When they were in there, I really enjoyed them wrestling, particularly The Butcher. He's just got this awesome look about him.
I love it when he just gets in the ring, just lunges his way around the ring. It was wonderful.
And Excalibur put them over better than anything. He said, the Blade is, you know, he's the brains, he's the tactics. He's the Blade.
Yeah.
And the Butcher is the brawler, he's the muscle. And then the Butcher tags in for the first time. I'm like, oh, crap, yeah, he is. It was really well done. But... that's what happened with the Dark Order. Like, I only got into the Dark Order after 3 matches and me going, man...
Stu Grayson
is really, really good. I don't know why they're doing it this awkward way round when they should have introduced them via video packages, give them something, just like they're doing with the Dark Order now.
That's what we said about the Dark Order. They did it out of order, ironically so, which is that they debuted them, had them kind of like push them to the moon, then realized it wasn't getting over, so stopped that push. And then started the build for them to what would have been that push first time round. It's madly out of order. And you could say the exact same thing with this. But we said it 2 weeks ago when they debuted. Crowd didn't know who they were. Crapped all over it. I liked the presentation of it, but the execution wasn't great because there was no build to it. It's the same with the QT Marshall. I think you calling it a comic book thing is really quite apt. But to pull it back to a positive, though, I thought the match was great.
Yeah.
I thought this crowd were so into Cody Rhodes.
Nice. Like, he's everyone's brother.
And when he made his entrance, the crowd went ballistic. And when they built so beautifully to his hot tag.
That was masterful.
It was so good.
I wrote down the exact same thing because it was, you know, hope spots in wrestling where it's in a tag match and the beatdown babyface keeps going for the hot tag, but you get a hope spot. And it's very formulaic in other companies. But here, oh my, this was like an NXT match, you know, like those classic, or Undisputed Era versus Mustache Mountain last year. The whole match was based around hope spots. They never made the hot tag. It was just mind-blowing what they did. And it was like, because you'd have the Butcher run in, beat down Marshall, cut him off. Then there was another cut off. Then Marshall would dip the ropes and the Butcher would fall through. Oh, he's going to make the hot tag. Oh, but Butcher takes him off the apron. Fantastic.
So good. But then when Cody does get the hot tag, crowd goes bonkers. Absolutely amazing. He just brilliantly runs wild, including a double springboard cutter, which looked fantastic. And it was just like, then it was just big spot after big spot. QT Marshall did a double handspring splash, which looked really, really fun. I just thought this was great.
Yeah, and it had a nice finish as well. Ali raked Cody's eyes, and Cody, I don't know if they didn't play it up on commentary, but in my head, she might have
gone for
the scar as well. And Cody's just rolling around trying to get back into the match. And he does for a little bit. But you can tell he's really selling. Oh, actually, I can't see. I thought it was very effectively done. And that played into the finish where QT's isolated. Well, a horrible in a good way looking finisher. This Butcher suplex into the Blade's double knees on the back. For the win for the Butcher, the Blade and the Bunny.
And because the story that Cody started last week was that all my friends are busy. Young Bucks are dealing with Santana and Ortiz. Dustin's busy with Jake Hager in the Inner Circle. I've got no allies.
Brandy is awkwardly a heel.
She's doing stuff. I've got no one to have my back, which is why I was teaming with QT Marshall here. And then Darby Allin comes down to the ring. Massive pop for Darby Allin as well. And he shakes the hand of Cody Rhodes and helps him up. What a wonderful moment. It steps up. I've got your back. We can take on the Butcher and the Blade together.
Love that.
Loved it.
And it's like, see you later, QT. Good try, mate.
Good try, mate. Get that apple, yeah?
I thought the Butcher and the Blade looked really good through the in-ring wrestling here. I'm excited to see them. But I can't... It is awkward, the placement they've been given, because they just feel like the mini boss before the main boss of MJF.
Yeah.
So it immediately slots you into a certain position. And, you know, not everyone can be at the top, but I just wouldn't have done that with a debuting act. I would have done that with a established one.
Yeah. Did you see the MJF thing last week?
Yeah, the interview, yeah.
Yeah, where he said that he paid off the Butcher and the Blade to attack him. You know, why didn't you put this on TV?
That was on Dark, or is it on
just on
their YouTube channel?
Like on Twitter, like what a ridiculous thing to have done. Like you put it in front of your largest audience.
It's a weird oversight. I
think it's weird.
And it's one of the only things they haven't remedied yet, where they spread their stories across too many mediums.
Yeah.
They're the Wachowskis telling the Matrix. That's the problem. So after that, we get MJF, speaking of. He comes down to the ring with Wardorf Salad. What were you going to call him? I forgot.
Well, I called him Statler and Wardlow.
I
like that MJF, while walking to the ring, threw his gum at a fan. What a dick move. and he tells one of the grips to get into the ring, one of the grips on the outside, and says that the grip laughed last week when Cody made fun of MJF's attempt at the crossroads. And he tells him to kiss the ring. When he tries to do so, he slaps him and gives him the double cross. And then said, "Look pretty good to me."
It did. It looks so much better.
It did.
But yeah, very funny. And then MJF, like, he worked me, man.
Yeah.
He cut a promo that I genuinely was like, "Don't do that, mate." I thought it went too far, but it's within. That's what he wanted.
Yeah.
So he makes fun of how Cody just called him a low-rent Jericho. And then went at Cody with just cosmetic insults, really. You know, real bully-like insults. Yeah. He said, your hair's like a cat's pissed on it or something where it's blonde. Your teeth are so big. I can't remember the comparison.
I think you just said, yeah, they were all over the show. And then said, and targeted his lisp.
I don't know why that got to me so much. Because yeah. That is, I guess it's kind of the thing at school where if you have, I don't know, I always had tremendous sympathy for people with lisps or who were slightly overweight.
It's like,
or
speech impediments and things like that. Yeah,
like, don't go there. There's far more fun things to take the mick out of people
for. Well, particularly as well that, you know, we're not trying to reference other companies.
Yeah.
But Cody's previous employer bullied him for the fact that he had a lisp and he had to get, you know, elocution lessons to try and get rid of it. And that's something that's got a weigh on your mind, you know, mentally over the years.
Yeah. And I'm not saying they shouldn't have done it. I think it's really good that they did do it and they went there because it's going to...
It's not about AEW, not...
Sorry.
You just said that. I think it was a good thing that WWE bullied him for having a
list. I love all the JR stuff, WWE. No, I'm talking about AEW and MJF here. Of course, all of this is signed off on by Cody as well. This is coming from a creative place.
Yeah.
And... It just, it got to me in a way that doesn't usually... I was like, oh. You know, I know it's a...
A work.
A work, but I was still like, come on, mate.
Well, he is one of the few heels in this business that can generate genuine heel heat.
Mm.
Like, last year, Tommaso Ciampa was one of those guys. Sami Callihan is one of those guys. But even that now feels like that's turning the tide. No one's loving him because he's so good. But MJF is a guy that's just like, no, I just do not like you. And it is genuine heel heat. It's not go away heel heat. It's genuine wrestling heel heat.
And I think one of the crucial parts of it is before the full-on heel turn against Cody, his heel promos did have comedy in.
You
know,
yeah.
He'd call people fat. It was funny stuff. He'd say he'd slept with people's mums. It was good stuff. What he's doing now, and it's got to be a conscious effort, is they are just... nasty things.
Yeah.
And it's making me dislike him. Not as a person, I just, you know, as a character. And that's exactly what you want, because I've got the complete opposite feeling for Cody, which is like, you know, he's my brother.
Yeah. But the key to this promo is that he accepted Cody's challenge. Doesn't need any of his crap, like, or any of his money. He's accepted his challenge. But there will be some stipulations. But he won't go over those stipulations now. Not in Dallas. No, he's going to wait till Jacksonville, which will be the January 1st show.
Yeah, big show that's shaping up to be. I guess we get Mox's answer as well. Smart building, because they've already got everything for next week's show, and then it's sort of a week. Are they doing a show, or is it going to be a tape show for Christmas
Day? I have no idea, to be honest.
But yeah, he ended that promo with, I'm better than you, and you know it. Was that always his catchphrase? Yeah. I can't remember. And then we got a Dark Order promo.
Love these Dark Order promos. And this time it's the Beaver Boys, who we saw earlier in the night with Alex Reynolds getting beaten by Moxley. They've also been beaten on Dark. And it cuts to Alex Reynolds, and he's going through his phone looking at the results from AEW Dark, where they got beaten. And he's in this hotel room, and there's like an infotainment television.
Yeah.
Being through like, hey, welcome to our hotel. You can use the spa. Why not order some room service? Hey, Alex, why are you such a loser?
Yeah.
And then Alex is like, huh? He's like, yeah, no, Alex, I'm talking to you. And he talks about like, hey, you don't have to be a loser. Just come join the Dark Order. And it goes like really creepy and stuff. And he's like, and then order some pizza. It was a really, really, really well cut together. Creepy as well. And then his tag partner walks in and says, who are you talking to? And he's like, I don't know. I loved it. Thought it was really, really cool.
So we've had these really inventive Dark Order promos for about 3-4 weeks now. And they've had members of the public, actors, but non-wrestlers. And this was the first time we've got a wrestler act, which says to me, they're actually getting wrestler minions.
Yeah. It's just a shame that Brandy's doing the exact same gimmick.
Well, maybe that's what happened. Brandy was in a sort of a hotel room or penthouse apartment later on. Maybe she's going to flip on the telly and the Dark Order will recruit her.
A recruitment off.
Then we got... Because, you know, there can't possibly be storyline progression or the power rankings actually meaning anything in AEW's women's division.
Yeah.
They still haven't figured it out, folks, but we do have Big Swole. So Big Swole was signed last week?
Yeah.
And they announced it this week?
Yeah, totally.
And she took on, get this, Emi Sakura.
No, Emi Sakura.
Oh, what? Emi Sakura.
Yeah.
I was practicing before we came in here. And I think just before my brain said it, I was like, no, not that one, this one.
Yeah.
Emi Sakura.
You were close, man. You were close.
I was wrong.
I was trying to be nice.
Cheers.
Yeah, they show Hikaru Shida in the crowd and say that she is ranked number one, but barely. And I thought, okay, well, that's interesting then. I mean, do we want to talk about the match they announced next week?
Yes, let's do that first.
So they announced a match for next week, which is Britt Baker versus Chris Statlander in a number one contenders match.
Who, and they are the fourth and fifth ranked people in the power rankings.
How are they in number one contendership matches then, if Hikaru Shida is ranked number one?
I don't know. I don't know, Luke. It's, this isn't hard.
It's not.
To get right.
Do it right everywhere else.
I know. I don't know what's going on here.
Like, the main event of this show was the Bucks versus Santana and Ortiz, who were ranked number one and number two, and they said, well, this is a number one contenders match. It makes sense.
And the Jungle Boy and Scorpio Sky stuff has been gotten round that they're not the number one contenders.
Yeah.
Jungle
Boy's not even a title match.
Yeah, good point. I just don't know why they're weirdly dropping the ball.
Struggling with it.
On the women's
division. It's really, really weird. And I've also, I thought Big Swole looked, great. This was a match that was designed to get her over.
I really like her. She was in the Battle Royal earlier this year.
Yeah.
And she's got so much charisma. She's still a raw talent, but out of all the raw talents they've signed recently, she's by far my favourite.
She's the wife of Cedric Alexander.
Ah.
I believe.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Here's my issue with this, though. Emi Sakura is a legend in women's wrestling in Japan. They said here, in 2009, she was ranked the best women's wrestler in the world.
Yeah.
Great accolades. Problem is, because she hasn't had a US contingency, she isn't over at that veteran status. So when Big Swole beats her here, it doesn't feel like the big, oh my God, she beat the legendary Emi Sakura. So it doesn't really quite work. And it's unfortunate. Actually, I was talking to a friend of mine recently about Emi Sakura, and they were talking about how her queen shtick, sorry if I've been a bit phlegmy in the, I might need to stop talking for a second so I can try and compose myself. But her queen shtick gets over massive in EVE and gets over massive in the UK because Queen is a big part of sort of UK pop culture. So when she does like the, ayo, the crowd responds to it. When she does it in America, no one does the call and response.
They like that bit though.
Yeah, but they don't do all the other call and response
from dodgeball.
Bits.
They probably think it's a weird dodgeball gimmick.
So it doesn't quite get over to the same degree that it probably should do.
Mm.
But AEW keep pretending like Emi Sakura is over to that sort of like legendary status.
Yeah.
I don't think it's working.
The whole women's division isn't working. So what we got here was Big Swole had a good showing. It was a little bit sloppy at times, but there was a great rolling surfboard stretch.
Oh yeah, for Emi. Yeah, that was great.
Really,
was
really great. Good. And Swole's facials were really good. There was a bit of mic stand shenanigans in the middle, but Swole won. And I was like, cool. I like Big Swole, but I had this with Chris Statlander the other week and Shanna, a few weeks before then. And I just thought, where's Rio? Fair enough, you're keeping her off TV. She's the champion, but I really think she should be around more. We haven't seen her since Full Gear, right?
Nope.
But okay, you're making the champions feel special. Where's Jamie Hayter? Where's Bea Priestley? Where's Britt Baker? Nyla Rose has been written out. Like, all of the people you spent your pay-per-view era building, you're just not using.
Yeah.
And you're instead bringing in new signees to the women's division every week and having them beat Emi Sakura.
Yep. Got that time.
And I'm like, but what is the division?
To what end?
You can only do this once every couple of months, really. There's only so many, plucky upstart new signees I can really absorb.
And it then doesn't help the fact, as we said earlier, that you establish in this match that Hikaru Shida is ranked number one and then announced later in the show that Britt Baker and Chris Statlander are having a number one contendership match.
So yeah, it's all over the place. It's good wrestling,
yeah.
Kind of, but
it's meaningless.
Yeah. After this, we got Pac having an interview backstage.
Oh, I love Pac.
Yeah, he's really good. He wants his rubber match with Omega. Pet.
Very good.
It's like he was in the room. Now, what was interesting there, he said, if you don't give it to me, my rubber, I won't be accountable for what I do next. So I'm like, cool.
Yeah.
I don't want Kenny to give you the match. I want to see Pac flipping out at people.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
Excited for
particularly
that.
Because Omega, based on this next match, has also got some other stuff on his plate.
Yeah, it was Kip Sabian and Sean Spears. We got an inset promo from Tully Blanchard during this, who wasn't so clunkily not out there for reasons. It was
awkward
booking. But Tully says, look, Sean's trying out Kip as a potential tag team partner here.
Yeah.
I thought, do we need another tag team?
Well, Tully seems to think so. They're Sean's singles career is hardly flourishing at the moment, so Tully, as a manager, has been like, hey, well, just I'm a tag team guy. Move into the tag team era.
On Spears' name bar, it had on his name bar, 4 straight singles wins.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good singles record.
Yeah, perhaps. I did like Paige's one, where it's just like, spent last week home alone with a bottle of whiskey.
But everyone comes out, and Omega's reaction is crazy.
Yeah,
the roof lifts off the place.
He's absolutely a star.
Amazing. Well, yeah, he is. Book him like it.
I know.
I feel like I'm being weirdly down on AEW. I'm not really enjoyed the episode, by the way. It's just there are a few easy wins.
Yeah,
and that is Kenny Omega should be having amazing singles squashes or matches or whatever. It's like they're all afraid to admit to being the best in the world.
They don't want to Jarrett it.
Yeah.
I think that's the key here, is none of them want to Jarrett this. And I think that's in some ways.
What a weird but understandable lesson to take from the last 2 decades.
Completely. And yeah, the Kenny one, I think it's quite perplexing. I think he is one of the few people who feels like they should be pushing as more of a breakout star of all of this. You know, Simon and I were chatting about this the other week. And he feels since AEW, Kenny Omega's lost all of his luster. And I was like, the worst part about this is that was also by design.
Yeah.
The whole point of Kenny's story this year is supposed to have been, I've lost all my luster. And yeah, granted, from a character perspective, that's quite interesting. But from a wrestling perspective, it just means you're no longer the best wrestler in the world. And I don't know if I'm as into you as I was this time last year.
Yeah.
What end was it?
It's a classic case of the artiste wanting to tell a story they think is really, really good and fitting of their character, and they're not wrong. Mm. It's a good story. But is it the most effective story to tell right now?
In your first year of AEW as well.
It would be a much better story, yeah. In a year and a half, 2 years' time.
There it is.
When you've established that character
as
the best in the world and beating everyone and being amazing and being the biggest star in the company.
Yeah. But, you know, onto the positives. This was a cracking tag team match with 4 excellent professional wrestlers doing excellent professional wrestling. Lots of fun heel shenanigans with them distracting the referee so Penelope Ford can get in there and do the Zelina Vega Hurricane Rana off the apron and doing a couple of handspring elbows.
She's
fun
awesome.
Stuff. She is great. Fun stuff. I really like the pairing of her and Kip.
Kip is also so good at being that kind of heel. Very similar to Sammy, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
But there was a bit when he got caught in between jewel chops from Omega and
Paige. I've
written
it, chop pinball.
Yeah. Then, unfortunately, it became a bit overbooked.
Yeah.
Tully wasn't out there, and I felt his absence was awkwardly noticeable.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, maybe they're doing that because Ford's out there, and she's interfering a lot in the match. Maybe it'd just be too quick.
Overkill.
Yeah. But then the lights cut out near the end. It's Sean Spears' entrance. It comes up on the ramp, and Tully is tied on the chair by Joey Janela.
And he's put his sunglasses on him as well.
Yeah.
And so Joey's there being like, I'm Joey Janela. And Sean Spears runs up, frees Tully Blanchard. And then he and Joey brawl to the back. So Kip's left on his own.
And that's the sort of rule annoyance, I suppose.
Yeah. And the crowd kind of died off because it was weird. I don't think it really got over. And we were left in this situation where Kenny was just beating up Kip Sabian. So they started a second storyline for this finish.
Hey, but I loved
this story.
I was about to say, I really, really cannot wait to see where this storyline goes, particularly with the match they've announced for next week.
One of the best moments in wrestling ever is WrestleMania, can't remember, that's how good it was, where Hulk Hogan has Miss Elizabeth on his shoulders and Randy Savage, for a second, just looks at him like, you what, mate?
Yeah.
And that pays off a year later. And that jealousy consumes Macho Man. And there was a moment in this match, at the end actually, when Omega is there, he had the match won, hits the Snapdragon. I think it was a V-trigger as well.
Hit a V-trigger against the ropes, was almost setting up to do the One Wing Angel. Blind tag from Hangman Page. He jumps in and does the buckshot to get the win. And Kenny Omega's selling of this was so, so good.
That's it. It was like, I'm not saying Omega's going to turn heel. It's just like that, you what, mate? But not like annoyed and the sort of pushing.
Yeah.
It was just, it was perfect.
It was perplexion.
Yeah.
Where he essentially like, and I've watched it back a couple of times now, just watching Kenny and all of this. Because Omega, like, because Page just celebrates being like, yes, I won. Which is good because Page feels like he needs to start getting some of these wins because his win-loss record is patchy in AEW. You know, he lost the first title match and then he's lost to MJF and he's lost to the other. So he needs some of these wins. So to him, this is a big deal. And watching Kenny, and he just looks at him and he's just like, I mean, yeah, I guess it worked. It was a really interesting dynamic of just like, I don't agree with the tactic, but I suppose it got us a victory. So I can't fully disagree with it. But at the same time, I don't think you needed to blind tag in. I think I had the match won.
You're my mate.
Yeah.
But you're being a bit of a dick. But I know you're going through some hard times right now.
And we won.
He said all of that with 2 seconds of face.
It was amazing. Absolutely amazing. I'm so intrigued by all this. And they announced next week those two are facing the Lucha Brothers. I mean, that on paper just sounds great as it is.
It's going to be some slappy moves.
I'm just so interested to see what this dynamic is between Omega and Page is going to be next week. Because Page has left the Elite. Mm-hmm. You know, he's going out on his own. It's so interesting. I'm really, really into this.
From those highs of storytelling might, crash down to consistently the worst thing in AEW, unfortunately. I hate ragging on her because I really like her.
Love Brandy.
This isn't good. Brandi Rhodes is now in a sort of hotel room penthouse suite. She unclips what I thought was going to be her whole dress, but was just like a bit of fabric on
wishful
her waist.
Thinking.
It was just a weird thing to do. I don't know why. Hello.
She's in this penthouse thing. She's like, "Where's Riho been?" Good question.
Hey. She's so small, she's disappeared. I thought that was a good line.
Yeah, and she says that Britt is just here to consistently mention her boyfriend. She's just a groupie. Now I know what you're thinking. I mention my husband all the time, but we've been married 7 years.
I didn't think that was good, because no. Britt Baker's never mentioned Adam Cole.
No, the commentary team has.
Yeah, you should take aim at her being a dentist.
Yeah.
I thought that was misjudged.
I thought it was as well. And then she said that the offer to Statlander, still Standlander... Nice. And the woman who had her head shaved last week was there, and a bald man was also there, but Brandy told him not to reveal himself just yet.
So, multi-gender. I thought it was just going to be a women's faction.
Yeah.
Any ideas on who it will be?
I don't know if I care enough to even consider.
That's the problem, isn't it? Because there's been so many debuts in the last couple of weeks. And, you know, in Dynamite's existence... I think we should close the doors now, apart from Luke Harper. And that's in March. And Marty Scurll.
Yeah.
And PCO. The Revival. Yeah. But we should close the doors
maybe
now.
Maybe the Hardys.
Apart from everyone I like. And just focus on building the talent that you've got, because you've got Kenny Omega and Pentagon. Really? That's all I want to see him for Infinity.
Right, onto some positivity now. Jericho comes out and ejects Tony Schiavone and Excalibur from the commentary desk.
You said his name wrong. Tony Schiavone.
Is it?
Is how Jericho says it.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay, don't apologize. I love that when... So Jericho and Hager are there to provide commentary. Hager says nothing, which is part of the good gag about it. Angrily tweeting about Greta Thunberg. But he was there. Jericho said, "Excalibur's an idiot. Here's what lexicon means. I went through the Greek translation of lexicon.
He was on absolute
fire.
Oh,
God, he was so good.
Did you pick up on this as well? He called Luchasaurus 6'7".
Did he? I did not pick up on
this
that.
This is a reference to the thing that sort of came out over the weekend where there was a Roman Reigns promo on SmackDown. You see this?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
I saw your news about it as well.
And Reigns says Baron Corbin's tall. He's 6'6". Nearly 6'8". And Kevin Owens tweets about it saying, this happened before, like several years ago. Are we not allowed to say 6'7"? And Corey tweeted back, maybe joking, maybe being genuine. No, it's on the ban list. So for whatever reason, Vince McMahon doesn't like the height 6'7". It was just that's how you do a jab, a funny jab at the other promotion.
Yeah.
Not like Brandy's... weird Adam Cole reference, baby.
Do you know what? I just love Jurassic Express.
Yeah.
In the same way that I love when Moxley's music hits, I get the same thing when I see Jurassic Express come out. When Luchasaurus is carrying Jungle Boy, and then Marco Stunt skids underneath them, the music is great, the entrance Titantron is great, their whole presentation is just so, so good. I love this team. I mean, they suck as a team because they never win. Like, Jungle Boy's record is 0-8. But I think they're great.
And it's like, yeah, there's the little ventricle of my heart that's for Moxley, but they've got a different part of the heart.
Yeah.
And it's the more, like, childlike wonder.
That's exactly it. Yeah, totally.
It was a really nice... So it was Luchasaurus versus Sammy Guevara. Really nice way to build Jericho versus Jungle Boy next week. It was a pretty quickish match.
Most of it took place during the ad break, unfortunately. And Luchasaurus hit the tombstone, sort of like, I've written tombstone splash for the win, I guess.
It was a really cool spot when the crowd properly got into it. Sammy Guevara did the Andrade, or Kota Ibushi, I guess. I don't know who did it first. The miss a moonsault, stand up, try and hit the other moonsault. But then he missed that, and then he went for a shooting star. But Luchasaurus catches him on the ground in a choke slam.
It's really, really good, yeah.
But as soon as Luchasaurus wins, Jericho and Hager are all, like, as soon as the referee's not even finished counting three, they're already running down there. It's great work from them.
And they all brawl. And in all of this, Jungle Boy hits like a Hurricane Rana pin on Jericho. Marco Stunt slides in, counts the three, and they celebrate like they've just pinned Jericho. And Jericho's just shouting, "That didn't count. That didn't count." Sold the loss.
Yeah.
Perfectly.
Yeah. Yeah. Jericho is he's on another level right now. I've written here, and I hope he does this, in 10 years' time, when he's not wrestling anymore, he was so good on commentary, he could be the next generation's Jerry the King Lawler.
Yeah, that's a really good shout.
Like, for what Jerry was for me when I was growing up on the Attitude Era commentary, Jericho was so good on commentary here, he could be that kind of heel color commentator.
He could do all of that without the sexism and racism.
But I'm sure, like, in 30 years after that, there'll be new things that make me feel awkward. Then AEW announced NXT TakeOver Revolution.
I thought it was Evolution at first. I was like, oh, lads, we've already had this one.
February 29th is going to be the pay-per-view in Chicago. Downtown Chicago, they said. A leap year day.
Yes, it is, yeah. And it's I think it's also part of a comic book convention.
Smart move.
So AEW Revolution is their next pay-per-view. And they announced next week we're getting Lucha Brothers versus Omega Page.
Yes.
Jungle Boy versus Chris Jericho in a 10-minute match. Britt Baker versus Chris Statler in a number one contenders match. And they say that Riho is going to be there to watch the match.
But the main event was setting up the other big match next week, the tag team title match. And this was the number one contenders match for that, really. It was a Texas street fight, because we were in Texas. Great crowd. Young Bucks versus Proud and Powerful. And the Young Bucks weren't even off the ramp for their entrance when it got started.
Yeah.
Absolute chaos. Million miles a second. Just insanity.
Absolute insanity from the get-go. Like, right at the start of this match, they put Brandon Cutler through the stage. And then... Nick Jackson did a big swanton off the entrance tunnel through a table.
There was also an indie driver on the ramp. Then Nick sent on... Oh, yeah, we've done that one. They get into the ring. SCU are at ringside holding the titles, watching on. Santana starts getting the trash cans in. They put it on Nick. They start hitting Nick with kendo sticks.
And then Matt jumps in wearing a Dallas Cowboys American football helmet, which got a massive pop really anyway funny. Because, it's local sports team heat. And, Proud and Powerful trying to punch it. And it hurt their hand. Trying to hit them with the sock thing. And it doesn't work.
Yeah.
It was ineffective. And he has this big double spear. It was wonderful.
And then Matt does the three Northern Lights suplex chain. But the third one is over the top rope, through a table outside. Just when you've caught your breath for that, Santana dives through the ropes on the other side.
So Matt does that one. He then charges at Ortiz, who backdrops him over. So Matt goes through a table. And then Ortiz runs against the rope and does a cannonball the outside to put Nick through a table. And that was the first 3 minutes of this match.
Yeah, and then there was a slight ad break. Nick 450 on a trash can on Ortiz in the ring. And this was like the first booking spot, I guess. Hager breaks up the referee count. There's a ref bump. And then Dustin's brawling with Hager, which should have been the story they were telling the last couple of weeks. I don't know why they went away from that. But sure, we're back to where we should be with them. Then Nick falls through a table. There's a bang for your buck for a visual pin, but Aubrey Edwards runs down. She's too late. Kick out.
Big Aubrey chance.
Low blow from Ortiz. Street sleeper on a trash can on that mat. But now Nick pulls out Aubrey Edwards to stop that count. Just insanity.
And then eventually we got a super kick to the chair, into the face. Meltzer driver on some chairs for a Bucks win. Just a great chaotic main event.
Yeah, it was absolutely just crazy. It wasn't, it wasn't to my tastes. Mm-hmm. I thought it was rushed, no one could really sell anything, but I enjoyed the hell out of it. And I think this kind of match really has a place on Dynamite to get that crowd that does like that stuff.
Yeah.
Which is, hopefully your lapsed fan or your teenage boy.
Yeah, completely.
Overall, I thought this was a cracking episode. A cracking episode in the terms of it was solid.
I call it solid as well.
By AEW standards, I give it a high 3 out of 5.
I gave it an AEW sim, but I think really it's more likely on that sort of low AEW sim bracket. Yeah.
Yeah, so pretty.
It was a solid show. Like, that's exactly why I called it in review. It was a solid, solid show.
Zach Icon Linda says Omega isn't as good as Cody at putting over his OP.
Opponent,
yeah, okay. Huh. Yeah, I would agree with that. But that's because Cody's just been incredibly generous.
Yeah.
I mean, that Sammy Guevara match on the first episode of Dynamite. The Darby Allin match.
Yeah.
One of my favorite matches of the year. The draw.
Well, fantastic. That's the other thing as well, is that Omega's just been put in high-profile matches, whereas Cody has been putting himself into these matches against people like Darby Allin and Sammy Guevara, QT Marshall, with the Butcher and the Blade, whereas Kenny Omega's been facing Moxley, Pac.
Yeah.
It's already the established guys.
Good point. Mike Montiel, who apparently might have been at the event in person, says, "You can hear my daughter yell, 'Let's see what you got, princess,' during dark." So that's the post show that was, So you look out for that on next Tuesday's broadcast.
I look forward
on YouTube.
To it.
Also, someone tried to steal Justin's mic. Thankfully, they returned it. Justin Roberts, the ring announcer.
Yeah, don't be stealing his microphone. He needs that. Otherwise, how's he going to go, "Yeah"? Oh, I forgot to do it in my reviews today. What an error.
I tell you what that is. Mox is ramping so many people up with his entrance. People are like, "It's ECW."
I want to do it.
Jeff Mickle, do you think Luke Harper will join the Dark Order?
If Brody Lee is joining AEW, I want a singles run.
Yeah.
I'm done seeing Lee as someone second.
Yeah. Because
that is all WWE have ever wanted him to be. They don't see him as a singles guy. They're like, no, you've got to be a tag partner for someone. He's a singles guy.
And just look at that Viper in the storyline, Viper in the family storyline, when he was, you know, on the cusp of breaking out into the upper mid card. He really could be a singles something.
Yeah.
Really want to see him in New Japan, though. I think that's where he's suited for.
Yeah.
Nate drops surname. They had a shrink screen MJF promo during Cody's entrance, essentially saying the same thing as last week with picking his partner and hiring Bebebeb.
Problem there, though, is that like a lot of AEW stuff, they get some audio issues sometimes. And that promo, I couldn't hear the audio from it because they were also playing the crowd audio.
Yeah, I found that difficult to hear. All Elite DK, MJF versus Cody in a Brandy on a Pole match. Crying with laughter emoji four times. They've written that out.
They have, yeah.
Brandy, it's Christmas time.
Well, I was going to say, I think they do mean just the drink Brandy, because that's what they've spelled.
Dwayne Cooley, when MJF won the ring, the diamond ring, I knew he would do the Cody literal Ring of Honor gimmick when he made people kiss the ring.
It's a nice touch.
Yeah, because that's what Cody was doing, kiss the ring, when people had to challenge him. All Elite DK again. Cody is the wrestler of the year for me.
I could see that. And he's going to be very high on our list, I think.
Yeah. And then do you want to do the general wrestle talk related?
I will do indeed. Jesse Venable said, I've missed you guys. Love the super chat return. Also, love Ollie's Irish Chavo Guerrero accent. I can easily say Wrestle Talk and Screen Stalker are my go-to YouTube channels. Do you not remember this from the Patreon podcast from Ramble Club? Rest Talk After Dark, rather.
I drink too heavily in those recordings. Yeah. You need to remember something.
And then
things.
You do very silly things like doing an Irish accent in place of Chavo Guerrero's dialogue. It's very good. Nate drops surname. Ollie is as good at names as JR is.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, he's one of the best commentators of all time.
Matthew Shields said, what happened to the Q&A live streams?
Those were only ever a thing to make everyone like us again.
And it worked, you fools!
No, we did one for each presenter. We can't really do one every week. But we'll probably do one once every month, once every 2 months, just so everyone knows, like, hey, we're thinking of doing these things.
This is what we're working on, yeah.
But initially we just hammered it because we wanted a baby face turn.
Oh, God, I need the penguin hit. Oh, my God.
This is an email that comes in from Dan.
I wonder what they're doing.
Who says, hello to the lovely boys and Val. My name is Dan. I'm emailing you from the US in good old Maryland. You know the place.
Washington.
First of all, I just wanted to say thank you for all your work in providing us with all the content you do.
Oh, thank you.
We know it's a lot. I'm emailing you to say what a joy it is I'm emailing in to say what a joy it has been to watch AEW.
Hmm.
This has kind of been a year of wrestling shows for me. I had the pleasure of going to both the first ever AEW Dynamite and Full Gear.
Oh, wow.
Both of which were amazing shows. As a wrestling fan, it's such a breath of fresh air to watch AEW. Or as he's written here, AWE.
But
in
or,
awe.
Or. That's I still find AEW quite difficult to say.
Really?
AEW. I really have to AEW. Oh, maybe not.
Yeah.
I just don't think it flows as well as...
Well, I struggle things. Sometimes by saying WWE.
WWE.
I
mean,
I don't think I'm as bad as Kurt Angle at doing it. Anyway, back to Dan's email, who said, it's new, but yet familiar. Definitely what I needed in what had become a very frustrating time to be a wrestling fan. As a kid, I would get excited for the Monday Night Wars to come around, and I would be glued to watching TV, either WWE or WWF, and it was called before they got the F out. And it was a great time to be a wrestling fan. AEW has definitely brought back that excitement. That I can't wait for Wednesday feeling so I can wrap up. So to wrap up this email before I have to go on too long, I haven't To wrap up this email before I go on too long, if I haven't already, what a time to be a wrestling fan well into my adulthood. P.S. Thanks again, WrestleTalk, for the best podcast a guy could ask for. Also, happy birthday to King Chopper Whopper. Patiently waiting for the inevitable heel turn where you form a tag team with Blake Ham and try and take over the WrestleTalk kingdom. Hashtag all hail the chop.
All hail the... another catchphrase.
And I've got a... we've got actually quite a few get betters.
Well, thanks very much for your email, Dan. I feel exactly the same. I haven't looked forward to a Raw or SmackDown in general. You know, like you get the draft episodes, post-Mania episodes. I would look forward to those. But in general, like, not that I dread Raw or SmackDown, but I just watch it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no real excitement. But legitimately, I will go to bed on Wednesday night eager for Thursday morning to come when we can watch it. And likewise with the ratings.
Yeah.
That's like my second. I want to watch AEW, and then I really want to know the ratings for it.
But why do fans care about the ratings, Ollie?
Because it's an interesting business point of view.
Well, you know, I agree with that as well. Okay, we got this email in from Hector that I'm going to read before we get time to get better before we get out of here. It says, "Dear Luke, first off, let me apologize for babbling. As you'll see, this is really hard on me. Not too long ago, I got arrested for something awful. I spent a month in jail for them to just drop the charges and say, my bad. On my last day..."
Who said my bad? They said...
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
For them to drop the charges and say, my bad.
Whoa.
On my last day there, the corrections officer asked me, how are you going to celebrate getting out of here? I heard you in my head say, with a little bit of the bubbly. Why did that happen?
You heard us say it and not Chris Jericho say it.
That's because you say it in such a bizarre way. Anyway, Hector continues. I'm a very liberal nerd. I believe love is love. I believe that everyone should just try and lift each other up because life is hard enough. And I've always felt that way. But when I was 15, I was gifted with a baby brother. He was gay. I never cared. Neither did my family. He has four good parents. The godmothers were a couple. One godfather is bi. And there was me, straight as an arrow. But accepting folks has always been in me. It's why I connected with you and your co-workers. My brother, however, struggled mightily. No matter how much we loved and accepted him, he could still... He could see and feel the hatred in this world. Hatred for him and others like him. On the 16th, he turns 25. So that'd be the 16th of December. So it's coming Monday, in fact.
Mm.
He turns 25. Unfortunately, he won't make it. He OD'd last night.
Oh, Christ.
His organs have failed him, and I'm sitting in the hospital parking lot without the strength to go in. See, they're waiting for me. When I go in to say goodbye, they're never going to... when I go in to say goodbye, they're going to take him off life support. This is how I'm going to choose to remember my brother, atop my shoulders without a care in the world. I was his hero, and now my arrival at this hospital means his departure. So am I writing you a random YouTuber? And you guys brought me so much joy, such laughter. And you know what, right now, I need that more than anything. I don't know if after everything I have the strength to walk into that hospital, but I have to for him, so he won't be in pain anymore. Thank you, and thank you, WrestleTalk, for all you do, for all the entertainment, and thank you for being the type of man who would, like me, have just accepted AJ. That's from Hector. And that's a email that he's just sent us there, or a picture he sent us there with Hector and his little brother off of his shoulders.
Oh, Hector.
Yeah.
And AJ. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Kind of puts my camera cut in quibbles in perspective.
Yeah.
Do get in touch again, Hector, and then tell us how everything is.
Indeed.
It's terrible.
Let's hope. Let's read this email here. And I'm going to end this on a much lighter note because I'm doing this as a way to effectively make fun of someone.
Nice. Yeah. That's better. Yeah. I'm more comfortable with that emotion.
Exactly.
I don't know what these emotions are I'm feeling.
Because I had a WrestleTalk Get Better that was sent in from WrestleTalk.com's Louis Danger Dangor.
Oh. Danger Man.
The resident WWE Mark. So I thought I'd read his email out on the AEW podcast.
Louis, of course, writes for the website.
He does indeed. Does not like AEW.
No.
No. It's for stupid marks.
People say we are AEW bias. So as like a sort of HR quota, we have to fill. We brought on the Dangor.
He writes, "Dear Luke and Ollie," brackets, I presume he'll be on the podcast when you read this out. "Website editor Louis Danger Dangor here, writing today with a Rest Talk Get Better of my own.
Ah.
I started working on the site properly in February 2019. At that stage, I weighed 17 stone and 8 pounds, nearly 112 kilograms.
Mm.
This is a lot, especially considering I'm only 5'5". Still taller than Pete, though. I also look in a rather low place in my life, not really enjoying my first year of university. In the summer, after realizing I needed to get my weight and mental health in order, I decided to start going to the gym and using the treadmill. Normally hate running, so having you guys to listen to during the session really helped. Fast forward 6 months and I've lost 3 stone and
now weigh
14 stone, 8 pounds, 91 kilograms.
That's fantastic. And you can put all that on over Christmas.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah. Get those turkey, the pigs and blankets. No.
But really, really good. Well done, Louis.
I'm attending the gym 3 to 4 times a week and enjoying a calorie counting and watching what I eat. I'm a load more confident and happy in myself. I wanted to write you for 2 reasons. Firstly, to thank you and the rest of the WrestleTalk team for giving me a sense of purpose. I've really enjoyed working with you guys and helping out where possible. Secondly, I want to try and encourage people to get started if they are struggling with their weight and or mental health. I've always hated working out I've always hated working out and doing anything physical, but I found real encouragement in seeing the pounds fall off. Even if one person is helped by my email, I will be happy. Thank you for everything. See you guys soon. Your favourite WrestleTalk.com writer, Louis.
Be more like Louis, folks. Indeed. Honestly, there is no... And this isn't just me saying anecdotal stuff. This is science. If you exercise, you will feel better. There is no greater, like, sort of treatment for mental health issues than training and being active. It's more effective clinically than any medication you can do. That and meditation. And it's cheaper and it doesn't screw up your body. So, yes, to be more like Louis, congratulations, Louis. That's fantastic news.
Fantastic news.
And yeah, we will take credit for all of that because we gave you that sense of purpose.
100%. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's about time that you and I got recognized.
I know.
For all this work that we do. But that is all we've got time for on this edition of the podcast. But remember, there's another podcast released today.
Uh-oh.
And it features Chopper Pete and housemate Simon reviewing NXT.
Boo!
And then I think you and I will be back tomorrow to do the magazine show.
Yes, we will.
And are we going to do a TLC show? A TLC predictions?
We'll have to. Yeah, now they've announced the card.
Yeah.
So I forgot about that.
We'll do predictions tomorrow.
Woo!
Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.